Should be fucking sorry.
And I am sorry. I'm sorry I was going too hard in the paint and I started yelling at you.
It's just like, why do I continue to put up with this, you know?
I think the opposite. I think, why do I continue to put up with you? Because you are so mean to me all the time. And then the second I stand up for myself, it's like, I'm the problem. Let's cancel he, him, Matthew Ekberg.
God, he, him, Matthew Ekberg. Oh my gosh.
Always problematic. Always evil.
Yeah. I know. The villain. The villain of every story, I think. I think.
Truly.
You were.
I watched
the
Odyssey the other day, and I tell you what. He and Matthew Ekberg's all over that production. It's
all
crazy.
All over that production.
Oh my God. It's crazy because they're using all Greek names except for one. Like,
except Matthew
Swedish
Ekberg
name.
Is there. Yeah. It's just so weird.
It's so fucking weird. And that's on me. That's on me. That's why I changed it.
It's not an identity thing, actually. It's just sort of like trying to escape the consequences of your
Trying to run away from my crimes.
Yeah.
I feel like if I change my name enough, then eventually no one can catch me.
Yeah.
Which is what it's so fun. So whilst filling out all this US visa homework, they were like, oh, is there any aliases that you use? And I was like, I mean, I guess. Because they have to look at my social media to make sure I'm not, like, evil. So I wrote down Robin Ekberg and everything to be like, yeah, I have an alias.
Interesting.
I wasn't
sure. I kind of figured we would just say no.
Well, it's like, because they were like, oh, we're going to check on all of your social media in the interview.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. But if you're checking my social media, I don't use this name.
Also, right, you'll see that. Yeah.
There are three people in the world who still call me by my government name. And it is my mom, my dad, and my sister. Every other person calls me Robin. So there will be like lots of things that if they check, they're like, I don't know who this Robin is. So
it's true. That's
invalidated.
True.
And I have to be like, no, that is me. Like, that's what I go by. Stupid. But yeah. So then in a few years, I'm going to change my name again. And then I'm going to change my name again. Like every single time a big kind of I get canceled online or like I'm trying to get away with something.
Which I can't wait to do. I just can't wait to do it. It's going to be fun.
It's real fun because as a friend group, we do say it a lot of like, I'm excited to cancel you eventually.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I can't wait for the downfall of Vidya Valetti specifically because he's
You are actually excited about this.
I'm so excited.
Because Vidi keeps being like, I'm completely uncancelable. And then I hear you under your breath go, for fucking one day.
One day.
I'm getting in on the ground floor of this shit.
One day. I'm here, a fly on the wall, just gathering intel. Just you wait, Vidya Valetti.
You're going to be hit with a twit longer, and it's going to be devastating
darling,
for you.
Indie darling, Vidya Valetti. I know. Those diamond slippers are going to crack one day. I'll get you.
The pee in your mattress is going to be... it's gonna be piss in your mattress
It's gonna be piss in your mattress. that's the sensation you're feeling. Watch out.
Oh dear. There are so many nursery rhymes where I do need to be like, is this a real nursery rhyme or did I make this up? And the pee and the princess.
The princess and the pee? Yeah, the princess and the pee is a weird one.
It's definitely a weird one.
It's a weird one.
Because there's so many things which it's a thing which is a UK thing that didn't make it in North America as far as I'm aware, which is pantomimes. You don't have pantomimes really over there, right?
I don't know what that is.
So no, good. Because this is one of the things where I've been living in North America for like 3, almost 4 years at this point. And I was like, I know for a fact you don't have pantomimes, but if I attack this with such determination,
you're like, we have pantomimes.
I'm going to be very embarrassed. You don't have pantomimes. Pantomimes, pantos, are Christmas period like plays that are of nursery rhymes normally. Every single one of them has tropes. The tropes are like, he's behind you, which is at some point a villain is going to be stood behind a character and the audience has to yell, he's behind you. And then they will turn and then they won't be there anymore. And then they walk across the stage. They're a bit of a buffoon. There is always cross-dressing. Like there is a drag queen in every show. Not like a drag queen, like it's like a guy who is in every respect a cis guy who is dressed up like a female character. So it's not like a drag queen, like, you know, they are an expert and are known to be this. But again, a very British thing, a very British thing, which is why the transphobia in the UK makes absolutely no sense.
I know, it's wild.
On a cultural level, it makes no sense. Every single person who is above the age, who is above my age, or my age or above, basically, who is transphobic, is literally so fucking stupid because so much of our culture is based on drag. There was like almost like, I'm saying like a solid 6 out of every 10 game shows when I was a kid was hosted by a drag queen.
Right. We have talked about this.
Transphobia makes
0%.
It makes zero sense. It's so fucking stupid. Pantos have a drag performer. Literally every single show, it is a trope. I'm getting mad about it. But
I know.
Anyway,
I know.
That is a trope.
Remember you telling me about pantos, and I do like know the concept now that you've explained it. I have seen this in media. Yeah,
there is another trope which is kind of an unspoken trope. You need a D to E list celebrity in every single one of them.
Oh,
a guy who was in a soap for a little bit. A guy who was a winning or second or third place contestant on like X Factor needs to be in the show. A real D to E lister, a guy who's on like, I don't know, he plays a side character in like EastEnders or Coronation Street, just a soap, needs to be in it. A lot of them sing Chop Suey by System of the Down.
That's a twist. Okay.
And I'm telling you this.
Okay, fascinating.
A significant amount of pantos that I've been to have sung it. I'm so fucking stupid. It is Chop Suey. It is not Chop Suey by System of the Down. It is the nursery rhyme Chop Suey. I'm a stupid fucking baby.
Are you kidding me?
Because one of them, more than one of them, have done the fun, quirky little thing of, we're not going to sing the nursery rhyme, we're going to sing the System of the Down Chop Suey because it's funny.
Okay,
and it's a funny bit. I misinterpreted that in my mind for literally like 2 seconds. I said it. Again, this is the problem with me saying stuff with any conviction because I'm so wrong all the time. I have just started. In the past 5 years, I've decided to stop saying things with conviction because almost every single time I start saying things with conviction, I get too excited and I just start saying incorrect facts. And
incorrect
it's always
things.
So embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this podcast is
it's a time capsule. It's a little shoebox.
And I do it all the time. If I get excited about a game that we're playing, I just start stating wrong facts. And it is every single time I do it, I'm writing it in a suicide book that I will
have. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why did you do this? I did it because of all these reasons, because I'm a fucking stupid idiot.
Yeah.
They're always throwing sweets into the audience at the end, like candy and stuff. They like chuck them into the audience. That's another panto trope.
Yeah.
There's almost really always a character
like it
called Buttons.
If they all sang Chop Suey by System of a Down.
By System of the Down.
I would really
some of them
love
do.
That.
And now I'm saying like I've been to a couple where they've done it because it's because it's like a fun, it's a fun bit anyway. There is always like a modern song jukebox musical song in them. That's another trope of a panto. Anyway, so how did we start speaking about this? I couldn't tell you.
Because because you were talking about piss in the bed with Vidigya,
oh,
and that led for
princess
the princess and the pea
and
nursery
and the
rhymes and pantos.
You're actually you're so correct. You're right and true.
Yeah.
Beautiful about that. Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. The thing I miss, because I like
nursery rhymes.
I miss nursery rhymes. I wish. Hey, I'm still pissing in the bed every night, but people aren't rocking me to sleep with a nursery rhyme anymore. And that's the problem.
Oh, okay. That's true. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Maybe that's why you keep pissing in the bed. No one's reading to you.
And I'm so scared.
You're so scared.
No
You're
one's
so
telling
scared.
Me. Everyone's just kind of leaving me all alone at night and I have to pee. I know. I miss pantos. Because they're all camp and bad. All of them, 100% of them.
I did assume,
but that's the joy of it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the joy. That's what's fun about it. And everyone there knows that it's kind of shit. People, like, there are so many times where people just kind of forget their lines and then are laughing and then just kind of, like, shooting the shit and chatting. It's one of the things where I'm pretty sure 90% of pantos, everyone is either drunk at the time or... They all have like interpersonal relationship drama where they're all fucking each other. That's kind of the joy of a panto.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a thing that I miss. Because it sucks. If we ever got my dream, which is getting people over here for a Christmas season.
Oh God.
I'd be like
that so
I'm buying all of us tickets to go to a real dog shit panto.
I don't want to spoil the story, but you should ask either or both Elliot and Vidigya to tell you the story of the show they went to the other night. Because I feel that I feel that based on everything you've just said, you will really enjoy
The fun.
Story.
Was it purposely bad or was it just bad?
You don't want to spoil the story? I am going to say, yeah, just ask them to tell you the story you'll really like it. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Good. Good. Mm-hmm. Oh, dear. So how's your... Oh, God. What is related... I was about to say, like, how's your week? But we did just spend, like, maybe 30 to 40 minutes talking about it.
Yeah, it was pretty dog shit. It was pretty rough.
It was pretty dog shit, pretty rough.
It was pretty bad.
This is... Do you remember in 2016 where every single week a notable celebrity died?
Yeah.
It's very 2016, isn't it?
Very 2016.
This past week.
Very feeling 2016. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a rough one. Although I will say, really beautiful moment at line dancing on Wednesday.
Oh.
We went to line dancing. We go to line dancing. Elliot and I go to line dancing every Wednesday at this local place that does queer line dancing. And it fucks. Mm-hmm. It rules. We've been going for like a year and a half. But we went and they had set up like a really big tribute to Dolly Parton all over the stage. And a lot of the songs we danced to were Dolly Parton. and then at the end, they did a really, really great song swap, which is where we take the dance for one song and then they find a song that has a similar tempo or whatever and they switch it out.
Yeah.
So you can still do the same dance. And they switched out a song to the Time Warp. A dance that we had learned earlier in the night and we did it again to the Time Warp. And then added a tag in the middle where we stopped and actually did the Time Warp and then went back to the regular dance. And it was really fun.
That's
it was really
cute.
Fun and sweet and nice to be in a room full of a bunch of queer people and
yeah,
doing these
queer
dances
line dancing, having both Dolly Parton and
and Rocky Horror present crazy. In the room. Yeah, it was really nice. It was a very good little tribute feeling that I liked a lot.
Oh my God, I'm literally being so fucking stupid. Tim
Curry.
Curry. Tim Curry. Jesus Christ. I literally couldn't think of their name, which is horrendous of me.
That happens. I know that doesn't mean anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Dolly Parton, Tim Curry dying in 2 days and then going to a queer line dance is like...
Yeah.
It's kind of like the 9/11 for gay people.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty... The energy at the beginning was pretty morose compared to most...
Because it's a wake. You had a wake.
Yeah. We had a wake. Yeah. It was very much the energy of a wake. Dolly Parton's like framed picture was like front and center over the stage with like candles and stuff. So it was. It was very much a wake that we were at.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Damn. Crazy. Do you hear that they're going to rename the airport in her home state to Dolly Parton International?
That's very sweet.
Although they're thinking about it. Yeah, which is cool.
Yeah, that's very sweet.
It is sweet. I like it.
It is sweet. And she, I mean, God. The thing is that like she spent her career always kind of giving back to her hometown. So I feel like that's just a very.
Yeah, nice it's good. People, thing. Yeah. There's the thing where people are like, it should be a library. You should name the big.
Yeah, but she already has her library that she founded. So like. Yeah.
And also, you know. It's like, you know. I me personally, I'd like an airport. That sounds awesome. Airport's never going to get shut down. The library at this moment in time.
In this stage of the country,
in this stage,
are very touch and go.
I'm here for longevity, baby. Mm. Oh gosh. Anyway, what are we doing here?
My name is Dylan, and I've kind of played Knights of the Old Republic.
I don't remember it.
Yeah.
Hey, my name is Robin. I have never played Knights of the Old Republic.
Yep. This is Dork Spawn, a video game book club podcast where we play choice-heavy video games and discuss them chapter by chapter like a book club.
Yes. And I figured out the angle for my character. I know what I want, baby.
Ooh.
I want to be a spy. I'm a spy. I'm having like, I'm like a Sith spy. I'm a spy against the Sith. So I'm a spy for the Republic. But I want to see how far I can push persuasion. I have had a really hard time kind of thinking of what zone I want to go in the like, good and evil, the like light side, dark side kind of divide here. And then I was like, I always tend to go darker. And then I had, there's this bit that you hit early on in Terrace where there is a guy being shaken down for money by Davik, who is the notable villain.
Davik's grunts are shaking him down for money. Yeah.
And Davik keeps getting brought up all the time. And you can pay for the, oh no, you can just tell the guys to like back off in like either a kind of way, like a good side way or a dark side way, I think, or you can just leave them alone. And I was like, I don't know what I want to do. And then I decided to back off in a, like a kind of cowardly way. And I was like, maybe my guys are coward. And I was like, but then I just did cowardice in Fallout, like I've just done that angle.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So I didn't want to do that. And I was like, maybe I'm a person who like is good and then goes dark. And I'm like, I did that in every Dragon Age game. And I was like, well, maybe I'm a good guy. Like I'm exclusively a good guy. Like really
that
naive.
I feel
and
like
I was like,
you
I did that in I did that in Inquisition.
Oh, you did in Inquisition.
Okay,
that
yes. Was, that
in
was
Inquisition,
my Inquisition
you
thing.
Had a sweet baby girl, yeah.
And then I was like, what if I'm like good but angry about it? And I was like, that's just my hawk in Dragon Age 2. And I was like, I don't know what I want to be. And I was really struggling because I didn't want to repeat a trope. And then I was like, I'm going to. And then there is a bit where you go into a bar. I mean, I had this anyway.
The
go
cantina.
Into a bar and then you speak to a Sith woman, a Sith officer, who's like, we're having a party after. You should come along. Yeah. And I agreed. To go along, and then we were chatting and kind of friendly, and I was like, oh my god, I want to be a spy I want to be like a Republic spy who's pretending to be a good guy, pretending to be evil, but is actually good. And I thought that would be fun. And I was like, this game's a little older. I don't know how far you can push that. Like,
right.
If I start making evil choices, I mean, this is also just video games. If I'm making evil choices, my character's going to be evil.
Right. You're going to be dark side. The game's not going to be like, well, I'm sure he meant.
I'm sure there's nuance in this. Yeah, exactly. So I was like, okay, I want to be like a spy for the Sith a spy for the Republic, where it's like, I am going to be very kind to everyone. Like, I'm going to talk up all Sith people. I'm going to be like, hell yeah, we're on the same team, blah, blah, blah. And then the second I have the opportunity to betray them, I'm going to do that. I'm going to immediately betray everyone because I'm a spy and I'm not actually working for them. Anyway, that's my angle as a Republic spy. Because also as a scout, I'm like, that's kind of fun. I'm like, because I can't be the pilot because, you know, there is a pilot here and I don't know. I mean, you know, we're on the ground. I don't think there's going to be like flying or like things where piloting matters. There's also not a skill for piloting. So it's like me being a pilot is just me in the back of my head, like, I'm a pilot.
Which is so fine. That's kind of like, I think of like,
sure.
I think I'm
sure, sure.
All right. So what I'm getting from this game now that we've played a little bit more is that I'm getting very like, I'm seeing a lot of seeds that will later become Dragon Age Origins in which like a lot of your character, like there are the character choices that like affect the world and make changes and stuff like that. But there's so much variety in how you respond to things in Dragon Age Origins in particular.
Mm-hmm.
That basically like your character can really exist in your head kind of however you want them to be. And so that's kind of how I'm approaching it too. Like, Helnaden is I am playing up the scoundrel. I'm playing like a very, what I would call chaotic good, where ultimately she does not want to be, working for or with anyone. That is sort of a byproduct of what is happening here because of the situation, and now she's stuck on this planet. Ultimately, she just wants to get out of here and off. But when she encounters people being pieces of shit, she's just going to handle it. Like when those guys were shaking that guy down for money, and they gave me some attitude, I killed them. I just simply killed them. And then the guy was like, could you help me pay off my debts? I was like, no. Like, I don't want you to die,
but it's like, your problem.
But like, this is your problem. Please get out of my face. Like, I'm not fixing this for you. I just don't like fucking assholes. And that woman also invited me, the Sith woman also invited me to the party. And I was like, a Sith party, like a bunch of Sith hanging out? Because also, so when you walk into the cantina, there's a bunch of different rooms that you can go into. One of them is a room where a bunch of the like kind of rich upper level people are hanging out. And they are all such dicks to you. I walk in and they're like, that outfit, you look like a piece of
you
trash.
You look fucking trash.
Don't look at me. One woman like is like, where are my drinks? And I'm like, I don't work here. And she's like, stop speaking and get me my drinks. And I'm like, okay. So when I was talking to that woman, because I only spoke to her because I had found the elevator to the lower levels and they were like, only Sith or someone with approved paperwork can go down this elevator. And I was like, OK. And then when I was talking to that woman, there was like something in the conversation where it was like maybe she would sell me an extra Sith uniform or something.
Oh, fun.
That's
cool.
And then she invited me to the party and I was like, all right, maybe. But then I walked around some more. And actually, before I get to that, a couple of things, because this is like kind of the last thing I did. But also walking around, did you buy a droid?
So actually, I have it in my notes. There are two things that happened where I truly was like, man, they just don't make them like they used to, huh? One is buying the droid.
Yeah.
You step out, you spend money, you buy a droid, you step outside, immediately blows up, and you walk back in and they're like, wap. You're yeah. like, you fucking asshole, give me my money back.
I got my money back and more.
And then a little more.
I got a little bit more.
To persuade him to give a little more.
Yeah.
And another one, which is in that bar, there's a sex worker there, which if you speak to, they're like, oh my God, hi. Hey, maybe you want to buy us some drinks and we can hang out. And I was like, fuck yeah, baby. And I was like, here's 20 credits. Let's go grab a drink. You both walk into the bar. She spots the like really rich noble guy and then immediately speaks to him and then is like, sick. You don't have enough money for me. And then she leaves. And I was like, I fucking love this game.
Great.
They don't make them like they used to.
Excellent.
It's like all like I gave my money to someone and they just fucked me over.
And then they just fucked you over.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's great.
It's so funny.
Honestly, it's so fun. Did you do pit fighting? That's another thing that you can do in the
cantina. I did pit fighting.
There is a pit fighting ring. It's very funny to me because it is a non-lethal pit fighting. No one dies. And the explanation given for this is that there is a suppression field around the arena, which makes sense if you are fighting with blasters.
With a gun.
But I have a sword. I just straight up have a sword. How is your energy field stopping my sword from killing?
It's crazy as well. It's like, we have a suppression field, so blasters don't do any damage. And I'm like, wow. How are you not using this in war? When a group of people kind of shoot you with guns and you're like, suppression field. No, your bullets do no damage to me.
Shield.
Actually, shield. It's great. I did two of the fights and then I kept getting my ass kicked. So I left because I was using just one pistol at the time. Problem that I have with most games is if something looks aesthetically cool and I care about the aesthetics, I will take the worst weapon just based on the aesthetics. And one pistol is just cooler than the big rifle that is objectively better. So I was getting my shit rocked constantly and I was like, fuck. And then I left and I ended up picking up the like two-handed big blaster and I was like, okay, well now I'm mowing people down, which is good, but at what cost? So I do need to go back to the, arena.
I do have to go back too because I won the first fight in like 2 seconds and then I feel there was a big jump between first and second guy.
Yeah.
Difficulty and I lost pretty hard and I was like, all right, I might need to like
level up,
figure out the weapon system a little bit more in this or something or like upgrade
that makes
more
sense.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm going to go back.
Hi, I'm Maia, and this is Maia's Game Room, a narrative actual play anthology featuring short-form, story-driven TTRPGs. Each season tells a new story using a different rules-light system brought to life with sound design, editing, and emotional-rich roleplay. So, if you love cinematic storytelling and character-driven drama, come check out Season 1, set in the haunting world of the Electric State RPG. Just search Maia's Game Room wherever you get your podcasts.
You play Pyzak?
I did.
I genuinely like an hour playing Pyzak. I'm so into it. I think it's a blast.
I want to play a little bit more. I think it is pretty fun. I mean, it's like a little bit of a blackjacky type of game. It's like you gotta get close to, but not go past a certain number
20.
Value, 20.
Yeah.
And you make custom decks that it seems like you can evolve and like collect and build throughout the game.
You can manipulate you. So You have a deck of, I believe, 12 cards. At the beginning of the game, you draw four of them. The cards are pluses and minuses of different values. And you can, whilst this blackjack is being played to you, it's you versus an opponent as well, which blackjack isn't normally. It's just the house.
Right.
Whenever a card is played, you can decide to use one of your cards, or you can just be like, hit me, hit me, hit me, until it gets to a number that you're like sticking at. But the reason why it's fun because of the minuses is that you can get over 20 and then minus your score down to 20 or like 19 or whatever, and then stand, and it is best out of three, whoever you or your opponent is closest to. You never draw cards. You never draw your deck of cards. You draw the first four, and then that's it. That's all you have for the rest of the game. So if you spend one of the cards, you only have three. Spend blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
It's great, though. You can splash as many cards in as you want. So it's like you could spend all four cards on a single hand, and then you're just kind of fucked for the rest of the game. You don't know what your opponent's deck is, or cards they have in their hand. Yeah. They are just playing it. But because they only have four cards in their hand, you can be like, okay, my opponent only has one card in. What are the chances that it's a plus five that's going to get them from a 15 to a 20? What are the chances this? Anyway, it's a blast.
No, it is fun.
I really like it. I know that there's a bit more of a tournament in the lower city, because there's only one guy that you can fight against. You get a deck of this old man, and then there's like one guy that you can play cards against. Anyway, I love it. I think it's fun
and
as hell.
I love
a little mini game.
I think the deck that you buy from the old man, I don't think has any minuses in it.
No, it's just pluses.
It's just pluses.
To five. So it's like two ones, two twos, two threes, two fours, two fives.
Yeah. So you're at a little bit. You're kind of at a little bit of a disadvantage. You don't have that ability to like bring your deck back down yet. But I'm really curious. I'm excited. I'm gonna play more Pyzak because I think that it's one of the better
games
I've played. Yeah.
Yeah. I am a sucker for a video game like mini game, a consistent mini game that follows you throughout the whole game.
Yeah.
There's a big thing in Final Fantasy. It's like, you know, in Final Fantasy X, it's Blitzball, which is my favorite mini game ever of all time. In like Final Fantasy VIII, it's Triple Triad, which is a card game. In X-2, basically the whole game is a fucking collection of mini games. But I love a mini game in a game. I love getting obsessed with like being able to. Oh, in the 7 remake, it's fucking Queen's Blood, which is so good. I love it when people make a mini game in a video game that is so good that if they just released the game, like the mini game, I would buy it. I would play it.
Yeah.
It's like, give it this to me, a physical. Like, I would literally just go around and play this game. I like it so much.
And the thing is that there are so many that I think suck so much. And so I'm really enjoying this one. And I think it's fun. And I think
And I love that, though. Yeah. Even if it's bad, I like the fact that it's included. I like the fact that there's people that are like, we're trying to make a game.
Oh,
it's the same
sure.
as like the amount of games that we play, like that are physical games. It's like, I don't think this game is good, but I think this one mechanic is awesome. And that one mechanic is going to be something that I'm going to include in a game that I make in the future.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's just the best shit ever. I love it. I'm so fucking obsessed. Anyway, Pyzak's really great.
Pyzak's great.
a thing with this game that minor spoiler, but we are just about to do a racing mini game.
Fascinating.
I think this is a big thing. It's a kind of a problem I had with Cyberpunk, actually. This is a weird conversation switch, but
okay.
So in Cyberpunk 2077, I think it's fantastic. The problem I have with Cyberpunk 2077 is that, unlike literally everyone else, I don't think it's a real world that you can live in, because there isn't art. There's not a TV show. It's all advertisements and like minor radio shows. A thing which like GTA and big open world games, a thing which I really like is when there is like radio shows that are talk shows and people are chatting in universe about nonsense and stuff. And and there's things like this, like a game that people play in this setting. It's like, great. This is now a world that is lived in. Someone made this game. People gamble on this game that doesn't exist. It just fleshes out the world so much for me. And it immediately makes a game go from this is pretty good to this game is fucking awesome because this game has art. This game has a thing that's in universe that's like, you don't need to play this, but you know, you can get money off of it. People take it seriously. There are championships for this stupid little mini game. Whilst you're saving the world, your character likes playing fucking Pyzak. Lights, hey, you're about to save the world. Go play Blitzball for a bit. That shit's so fun for me.
No, I really like it. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's I
do wish that we had gotten that with Wicked Grace. Because we have a great scene in Inquisition where Wicked Grace is the center. And I love that scene. I wouldn't change it. I think it's brilliant. But I would love to see it actually get played and have like a little.
I really think if we're to get our wish, our genie wish that has no monkey's paw closing. For the Dragon Age to be remade, like a real remake of Dragon Age. It's that they should, because they talk about games and they talk about these art, you know, they talk about theater shows and all this, which makes Dragon Age feel real. But it's like, I need mechanics in it. I need to go and sit and watch it play. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And I have thoughts about what it would be, because it seems like a little bit of like a poker-esque, maybe like a little bit of a, rummy type. It has that kind of a vibe to it. But I feel like there's room for that to be twisted and
no, I really,
and
I
to
really
be really
love
cool.
It. I would like it. And it's also a cool thing of like, sorry, we are literally not talking about this. We're talking about something completely different.
We're almost done talking about the Upper City anyway. So like,
A thing with mini games that I really love is when it comes to stuff like Wicked Grace. I'm going to use Wicked Grace and then also like maybe Triple Triad from Final Fantasy VIII. The difference between the two that I think is so fun is like, seemingly Wicked Grace is played with a standardized deck. You can turn up to anyone and be like, and then it's like, oh, I have a Wicked Grace, you know,
that's
do you want to just play
get,
Wicked
yes.
Grace? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And then that's fun as opposed to like Final Fantasy VIII's Triple Triad, which is you have a deck. It's Magic the Gathering. You have a deck.
You
see
have
people.
Your custom.
You play Triple Triad? Deck. Oh my God. I have a deck with me. Do you want to play? I mean, it's just so fun. It's like, I don't know. I love that shit so much. And that's why I think Pyzak's so fun. It's like, oh, I have a Pyzak deck. Do you want to play Pyzak?
Right. Because that is also similar. It's a thing that like, we're going to
TCG.
Collect more
it's
cards.
Literally,
we're going
it's a,
to...
It's a trading card game. You're buying booster packs to be like, oh, finally, I got a -3. Hell yeah. This is exactly what I needed. I just love that. I just love that shit so much. I think it's so fun. Anyway, so with a Wicked Grace... I mean, it would be fun to be like, oh, let's just sit down and play Wicked Grace. But then it's like, is Wicked Grace a TCG where it's like, I have my Wicked Grace deck. I play fucking Orlesian rules. Oh, I don't play Orlesian rules. I play Ferelden, but we can.
Because
it is
described the way that it's interacted with in the universe is as a folk game where like people mention it. Just casually, the same way they'd be like, oh, yeah, I was playing chess with that. It's like, I was playing Wicked Grace. Like
I was playing Wicked Grace.
You know, like it gets brought up casually by people all over the place. So it is like the kind of game that might have house rules, might have.
It's like, what does Kirkwall Wicked Grace look like in comparison to.
There's a knife on the table. That's what it looks like. There's a guy.
There's a gun.
There's a guy who's going to win no matter what at the at the head of the bar, and he's wearing a cowboy hat.
That's my fucking, that's my city, baby. Best city, greatest city in the fucking world. Greatest city in the world. Mm. I was so close. This is not a joke. I was being in London, and because I'm, you know, so separated from everyone, I was like, what if I get a new tattoo? I just got my Final Fantasy one, and I was like, is it cringe for me to get a Kirkwall? I was like, it's kind of cringe. It's not entirely my, it's not my world, but it is my city.
It is your city.
I'm at the point, you know, you got me a Kirkwall flag for my room back in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So I have a Kirkwall flag and I'm like, that's great. Am I at that? Am I slightly past that level where I would put the Kirkwall flag on my
on
body,
your body
permanently? And it's like, I have spent, literally since I was 19, I think, I remember talking about I want a Final Fantasy tattoo. I have just gotten it. I'm 33. That took me nearly two decades to be like, yes, I'm good with a nerd property on me at some point. And it's like Dragon Age I've been into for 2 years.
I know.
Who
That's
knows if
funny.
I'm at that point yet? But
But you know what? The thing is, as I get older, I have noticed that my approach to tattoos just gets less and less serious. My first tattoos, the dragonflies that are right here on my chest. I booked the appointment for that a year in advance. I had them drawn on me and spent like a week with them drawn on me to see if I actually liked them. I spent all of this time. All of my other tattoos were a same day decision. They were a same day impulse and occasionally drunk decision. I have not regretted a single one. So it's like the amount of like thought that you put into that one being like an early want of yours makes sense to me. Yeah.
And now, because I mean, you know, when I got it, because I was umming and ahhing for, obviously, for years. But
yeah,
Christmas, I had this year, I had the decision to make it, to get it. I then, the month after, I went to my friend who was a tattoo artist, and he was like, so this is the drawings that I've done. And the only reason it took me like an additional 6 months is because I was traveling all the time. And then visa stuff was all fucky. So, but then the second I was like settled, I was like, okay, let's do it. What are you up to literally tomorrow? And it's like, oh, I'm free. And it's like, sick, let's go in for a 7-hour tattoo appointment tomorrow. But yeah, no, I'm the same where I care significantly less. I mean, this rat, the rat and the fox.
We made that decision that morning.
I was in London. It was Christmas. We do what we basically do all the time, which is, the second I hit London, the amount that we talk literally goes up by like 1,000%. And we were sat downstairs. It was like 3 a.m. and I was like, do you want to get matching tattoos? And at this point, we were best friends, but we hadn't stated it yet. We were like...
Correct. We had not really acknowledged out loud what had happened to us.
It was, it was new. It was new. We were feeling sick. And I was like, hey, do you want to get matching tattoos? A sentence I said to literally zero people on the planet. Because I was like, why would I ever want a matching tattoo with anyone? That feels crazy. And then you were like, oh my God, yeah. And then we met for New Year and we booked it and we went literally that day. We were designing it in the Uber.
In the Uber on the way to the tattoo
place. We were telling the tattoo artist what we wanted. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah. It's truly like, it's a thing. Unless you're just talking about tattoos now. It's a thing where... people always said like, oh, you'll get addicted. And I have always fought against it. It's like, I don't think you get addicted. I think you realize it doesn't care. I think it's
literally, doesn't matter as much.
It's losing your virginity.
Yeah.
When you're a virgin?
Yes.
It's the biggest deal.
Yes. Yeah.
The second you do it, it's like, oh, it actually doesn't matter.
Yeah. It's actually just kind of fine to do this. Yeah. yeah. This is just sort of a normal, cool human thing. Yeah. It's very much like that. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway,
Star
Wars Knights of the Old Republic.
Knights of the Old Republic. So, okay. So,
so
we did
there is a
Rakgul
disease. Yeah. There's a Rakgul disease ravaging the planet.
Yes.
There is a doctors, a medical outlet. You speak to the head. It's the doctor and his assistant. The doctor is like, oh, I'm trying to cure the ragdoll disease, but I need actual subjects. Like, I need ragdolls with it. But obviously, I can't go down. I'm an old man. I will get my shit rocked. And you can say, yeah, I'll go do it for free. And then just give you the thing, because this is good. It's a healthy thing to do. You're curing a lot of people.
Yeah.
As you're leaving, his assistant is like, I will give you a shit ton of money to do it. But you have to give it to me. I'm going to give it to Davik, and Davik is going to make...
He's going to pay way more. Yeah.
He's going to pay a shit ton of money. Mm-hmm. And we'll charge people for the privilege of having this cure for this big disease that's currently ravaging Taris. You don't make a hard choice yet, but you have this looming future decision. Who are you going to give the cure to? Are you going to get no money, but everyone is cured? Are you going to make a crap ton of money, but only the people who can afford it get cured?
Yeah. I told that guy to shut up, but I do still have the choice. It hasn't, like, taken the option away from
me. Well, that's
but
it.
I
that's
did
why
tell
you're
him,
not, like,
like,
locked into a thing.
Shut the fuck up.
Which is good. I love early decisions like this, kind of solidifying who you are. There is a preacher who is being a racist.
I didn't meet the preacher.
There's a street preacher who's big racist. He's talking about how this ragdoll disease, everything getting bad, is because there are so many aliens on Taris. Taris has, for a very long time, been human only, and now isn't. And then you can fight back against him. You can... Oh, thank you so much. You can fight back against him, or you can say, you're correct, or leave. And then I left, and it keeps the decision kind of open of what you are going to talk about. Then there is another guy who is in debt with Davik as well. If you open up, if you're like breaking into rooms, which I was, in the north apartments, your home base is in the south apartments. In the north apartments, which is, again, it's a human-only apartment complex. If you're breaking open the doors, there's a guy who owes a lot of money. When you break in, he thinks you're there to kill him. You can either pay off his debt, which is 200 credits, or you can say, no, you got yourself into this mess. You'll get yourself out. I didn't have enough money to pay him, so I said, I will be back. And then I left. There is the Sith party you go to. Sith party is full of Sith. There's a lot of Sith everywhere. They all have this like hyper rare wine that's only available on Taris. They all drink so much of it that they all pass out. And then you steal Sith armor, which can get you into the lower city. And also, what's fun is if you wear it, everyone speaks to you differently, which I think is cool.
Yes, I was going to... Okay, so I wound up not going to the party. I was snooping around the apartments. I was going to go to the party. I was thinking about it. But I went to sneak around the apartments. I believe it was the North apartments. I think it must have been. And I found some Sith harassing an alien that lived in there. And I killed them. And then I looted their bodies and stole their armor. And so I was like, oh, great. I don't have to go to that stupid party.
That's so fun. Because the party, I was like, I don't remember this party happening. So I was like, on the first time I played it, so I was like, oh, there must be several ways around. But then when I Googled it, the only way you get in is with Sith armor. And I was like, oh, you have to go to the party then.
But there's just another way to get the Sith armor.
That's awesome. That's
just
really
by
cool.
Killing those.
And I actually, that's so exciting for me, because that is, that is like my spy goes to the party.
It makes sense.
Then ends up
and
stealing
my
something.
Asshole is just like, fuck these Sith.
Just beats up and kills some people. I love it. Amazing.
Perfect.
Hell yeah. That's actually so great. I love that. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
And but yes, yeah, then people. So then once you put it on, if you're walking around, when you're walking around in your regular clothes, droids will pretty much not talk to you. They will just sort of say a canned little response and walk by. Sith will tell you to keep it moving. Like, and that's pretty much it. Those two types of people in particular, like, do not interact with you. But once you put it on, they talk to you completely differently.
Yeah. Droids are like scared of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like ask if you have any orders for them or like things like that. And it's like, yeah, it's cool.
There are things where I was wearing Sith armor whilst I broke into some apartments. It was a mother, a father, and their child. I broke into their fucking apartment. So obviously they had responses to that. Wearing Sith armor, they're like actively scared of you. You take the Sith armor off and they're like, what the fuck are you doing in my house, dumbass? Like, get the fuck out. It's great. It's very fun. It's a cool little, kind of world building-y thing. Or just like general interactions that I think is really fun. Also, whilst I was walking around, I got a little notification that Karth wanted to speak to me. Something is clearly bothering him. Something's clearly bothering him. You should speak to him, which is fun. This is how you clearly didn't get this, which is...
I didn't. I spoke to him a bunch about his like backstory before I went out exploring and got to the point where he was like, I actually don't want to talk about any more of this, maybe another time. So I like exhausted a lot of his dialogue options before I went exploring the city, but I have not gotten any kind of notification like that.
That's exciting. I also did that. But then whilst exploring the city, so this is how, you know, this is before the camp ideal happened in Origins. But this is how like kind of things are.
Thank you so much. I got it.
This is how things, companion interactions open up in this game, is whilst you're walking around, if you've done X amount of stuff, I imagine it's X amount of stuff. I actually thought it was X amount of time until you just said you hadn't got it. You fully get a cutscene where it's like, I got Karth, something is bothering Karth. You should speak to him about it. And I left, I turned around, I was like, hey, what's up? And then he just started talking about how Sith, like, you know, he talked about his home planet, about what happened to him when he was a kid, and like come some kind of like residual anger he has toward the Sith. And then he gets like nervous and is like, it doesn't matter. I don't want to talk about this anymore, actually. I wonder if that's because maybe you're doing a little more of the asshole options.
That's what I was just thinking. I wonder if.
And then he
maybe
just doesn't respond well. As well,
maybe
to that.
It doesn't trust me yet, because I've done some pretty more rash.
That's really
things.
Cool. That's exciting. Yeah. That's a fun. I'm glad that we have difference in that.
Yeah, me too.
Because we going into the Undercity, we are about to our companions. We're about to get a shit ton of them.
Right, I assume so. Yeah,
which is fun and cool.
Cool.
I believe there's 9 companions, and you only have space for 2 in your party at a time.
Right.
Fun though. Exciting. I'm excited to see like kind of who we pick and who we like. But yeah, that is and that's the upper city. We both got down.
Yeah, basically you get as soon down, as you put the lower armor city. On. Yeah, yeah. You're allowed to use the elevator. They don't even question it. You go down.
Yeah.
And that's where
and
I stopped.
And then there's a fun. I immediately got into a little kerfuffle. Some guys started shooting at me.
Oh, I didn't. I literally got out of the elevator.
You literally
and
dropped in
and
then paused.
And that's
awesome.
It. Yeah.
Sick.
Okay.
So, Taris is very long. We have been advised by the council. Council is our Discord. That we should have broken up Taris into little bits. We can do, if you want, for next week, all of the lower city.
Okay.
And then, or as much of the lower city as No, all of the lower city, and until we find maybe Bastille. Let's have a little Google. Or we can just finish Terrace for next week.
Right.
We just do
because
all
I don't know
Terrace.
If we said this out loud on the show, but basically the idea is that we can't leave Terrace unless we've found Bastille. We need to find Bastille, and then the three of us can try to escape this place. Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, so this is how the chapters of Terrace are broken up, right? Upper city, lower city, under city, Volca base, Sith base, and then escape. So there's a lot.
There's
a lot of it. So I'm wondering.
So let's just do lower city, and then.
Well, because I don't know how big things are. So I'm wondering if you want to do lower city, under city, because I think under city is a dungeon. If we want to do low.
Undercity is kind of like
lower
a
city,
egg
undercity.
Can adventure.
And then when we get to the Volca base, I don't know where that is, but when we get to the Volca base, then we stop.
Okay. Yeah.
And then
I'm okay
we can, the week after, we can finish it. And then also, if it's like, if we're doing stuff and it's pretty long, those two are pretty long, we can be like, we've actually decided to take it a little slower. Or if we get through it crazy fast, we can be like, actually, I think we can do a little more.
Yeah,
but
we'll play it by ear.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm into that.
How are you finding it, though? How are you finding it?
I'm having
fun. I know
it's
very early. Yeah.
I know it is early, but this upper city exploration made me feel pretty solidly like I like it. Like
I'm feeling good about it.
The little story elements and like... Yeah. The kind of classic little role-playing game bits and bobs are tickling me. I'm having a good time.
Yeah, I'm also having a good time. I'm really connecting with it. And that's the thing is like, you know, we talked about it a little bit before. I have done Terrace. I have played Knights of the Old Republic. I have only ever played Terrace, but I've done it twice. And both times I'm like, man, this is so much fun. What a great game. But then after Terrace, I stop because I think Terrace is so big that I move on to other stuff. I kind of get my fill.
Right. Yeah.
But this is like doing this again. It's like, yeah, I've done this before. It's really good. It feels really fun. It's like there is so much
good to
do and appreciate. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm excited about the lower city and the undercity bits.
Yeah, very much so. Right. Any closing remarks?
No closing remarks, except you scoundrels.
You absolute pathetic losers.
Pathetic traitors.
You evil traitors to the Empire.
To the Empire. I cannot believe
fallen so far
and learned nothing.
Nothing. That is your failing.
Is your failing.
Good. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell na den.
Yay. Hell na den.
Hell na den.
Hell na den.
This is a Many-Sided Podcast.